Blue Wire.
All right, well, we have a jam-packed episode tonight. I'm really excited for this. So everyone, welcome to That's What Bea Said, episode number 35. We're creeping up there.
We're old enough to run for president now.
That's right. I am your host, Bree Rust at Breezy Clee, and I'm joined by Miss Mollis at Bird's Eye View. Hey, I almost called you Molly. Hi, Brittany.
Just do it. Can I just change my name to Molly?
Yes, you can.
Molly Molly.
Natural.
Molly Mollis. And Miss Meredith is also here at MCAN Sports. Hi, Mare.
Hello.
Looking lovely with some fresh hair, both of you.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when I actually wash my hair.
I'm all sweaty and like bloated. I had like a half pound, what is it, trestle tortellini, that's what it was.
Ooh, oh, it was good. It's good stuff. Yes,
good stuff. And then we went to play putt-putt, so I got all sweaty, and now I'm just...
You get sweaty playing putt-putt? How aggressive do you get?
I mean, I'm pretty aggressive. I almost won tonight.
Did you get a hole-in-one?
I got one hole-in-one, yes.
Woo! It's always the goal.
And at the end... Like, I counted them all up. I got 49. No, I got a 50. He got a 49.
Ooh.
Oh,
I know. So but it was much closer than the last, like, three times we played. So, eventually.
That's better than your Topgolf performance. So, this is improvement.
Okay. We are not talking about Topgolf performances because I came in last both games.
Let's go putt-putt, Mare.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. We'll tie-dye then putt-putt.
Yes. Well, I am dragging tonight, so I have to apologize. I woke up at 3:45 this morning and I could not go back to sleep for the life of me. I texted the girls earlier and was like, I apologize in advance. I'm really tired. And the reason I couldn't fall back asleep is because I couldn't shut off my brain. And we're going to get into a lot of sports topics, but like the things that I was thinking about, like I can't be the only one that does this. So I just have to get this out there before we start. So I wake up at 3:45 and the first thing that crosses my mind was, number one, did I lock my car? Which, like, that's the worst feeling in the world because I'm also too lazy to, like, get up and go lock my car if I didn't lock it. So I just didn't fall back asleep. And then I start, like, my mind just starts going. And I was like, I really like Yu Chang on the Indians. Maybe I should order a jersey. So then I started searching for jerseys, which then got me down to the, like, thinking about the game on Saturday and the extra innings when they lost. And I was like, oh, no. I was like, did Karinchak get an earned run for that extra innings game? And then I'm like Googling, did that actually count against him? It did
they don't get, they don't get earned runs for the ghost runner on second.
Yes. Then I thought about how I have spiders on my front porch and I want to try to get something to repel the spiders. Cause they like, they get into my plants, they get into the little siding. So I was Googling like spider repellent.
And this is all at 3:45 in the morning?
Yeah, at this point, it's 4:30. And then at 4:30, I'm like, you know what? I am going to go through my followers of Instagram and Twitter and start weeding people out. So I think I got rid of 1,000 followers on Instagram.
Wow.
And then I got through Twitter as well. I got rid of a lot of followers. So I did a cleanse this morning, a social media cleanse, feeling refreshed.
You did more from like 3:45. to like 4:30 that I did an entire day.
But my productivity after that was like way down. Let me just tell you.
I thought you were working out in the morning too, didn't you?
I did. Well, that's because, so that's the other thing. Little dude woke up at 6:30. So it was like 3:45, 6:30. And he always gets on the Nintendo in the morning. So I was just like, we'll just go to the basement. I'll do a quick workout. Cause I just, it helps me have energy throughout the day. So I struggled, but yeah, now here we are. I'm ready for bed.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little sports first and then
we're going to talk sports because the Dales are already mad that, you know, he came back from Brooklyn or wherever he was from and he really wanted to tune into sports.
Florida and then Brooklyn, remember.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So whoever you are, here you have it.
I like how somebody was like, do you plan on going back anytime soon?
I think that was either Jenna or Angie that tweeted that, I think.
I don't know, but it made me laugh.
We're going to get right into the MLB, much to Brittany's dismay.
Listen, I put this together and there
did.
Is a
I
ton.
I was shocked. I was
there
like,
is a ton
leading.
Of baseball talk. This is almost all baseball talk.
There is. But we have to kick off with the Marlins because yesterday was really the breaking news where 11 players tested positive for COVID. They canceled games yesterday, and then they also canceled the Phillies-Yankees game because they were playing the Phillies previously. And everything on the internet kind of just ran amok with this story because obviously it was really the first big outbreak in sports that we've experienced thus far. NFL training camp is kicking off this week, so I think a lot of question marks came out. And then today, four more tested positive. And then Meredith just informed us that prior to going live that the Marlins season is postponed officially based on all of this outbreak. So I don't know what you guys thought of this whole thing, but what a mess.
Meredith, did you say they're postponed until Sunday?
Yeah, so that was the last update that I saw, that their season is postponed through at least Sunday, which I think it has to be more to give them time to put together a taxi squad, because there's no way that they can use what little players that they have left that haven't tested positive for COVID, because it's not like they're going to recover by Sunday.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they're suspended through Sunday to give them time to make the moves to get their taxi squad together. Because
you think about this, and I was trying to, you know, my mom and I were talking about it this morning. I said, anytime like coronavirus is, there's like all kinds of layers to it. So yeah, you have 11 people sick right now, or, you know, 15 now or whatever.
I think I think the number was up to 17
today.
So then it's bad.
After they're sick, you have to be in quarantine for like what, 10 to 14 days. So yeah, like that's, you miss, and I would assume that they would have to say, okay, we're not playing these games because we don't have much of a team. And then, you know, what is, you know, 2 weeks of a 60 game season? And then you have to look at the other teams, you know, like the Phillies. Were they affected? Like, I can't imagine for the life of me how this is going to play out, that they're actually going to get a full season in. Because again, there's so many layers to this. And then once you peel off one, you're like, oh, well, we got to wait now. And then we got to wait now. And like, you know, it's only 60 games, guys. I don't know how they're going to do this.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even make it through like a week.
We made it 3 days.
3 days.
Before. And
of course it's Miami. Yeah. Also, I really liked that the team had a group, like, I don't know, I think it was a group text message.
Yeah.
And that's how they did. Why was there nothing in there? And this actually pissed me off. They said they found out that some players they tested positive Sunday morning. So then there was nothing in this 100-page manual for how to handle this. So the players had to meet via text message, I guess, and then decide if they were going to play.
Isn't this like, just common sense?
I don't know.
The answer should
anymore.
Be no.
They probably just think that they're above it. They're like, okay, well, we're positive, but we're asymptomatic, so let's go. And now look, you're in timeout. You're in baseball timeout right now, at least until Sunday. And once your team gets out of timeout, you're probably not going to be playing. Like, they're going to be.
I can't imagine that like Sunday's long enough. You know what I mean? Again, when you look at all the layers of it, they're like, oh, till Sunday. Okay, but why? Why just Sunday?
Well, like I said, I think it's giving them time to get their taxi squad together, because obviously the players and the coaches that tested positive aren't going to be there. Like, they're probably going to be out for at least 2 weeks. And I think the rule is that they have to get two negative tests in a row. So like Juan Soto with the Nationals is out. He's had six tests, I think, over like 3 days, but because he hasn't had two negative tests consecutively, he can't come back to play. So the Nats are without Juan Soto because of that. So I think that's at least their protocol that they got for COVID testing is you have to have two negative tests simultaneously or in a row before you can come back. So those guys aren't going to be coming back for a while. They've got to scrape their minor leaguers together.
Then, I have a question about that too, because as far as the minor league goes, like, they're not having any games like that, right?
Right. It's canceled. Yeah, it's canceled.
Okay, yeah, so minor league baseball is done. So where are they pulling these minor leaguers from?
They're probably guys who were already in the farm system and just not playing, and they have to hope that they're in shape, I think. Because I know at least with the Indians, they've got two squads. They've got their progressive squad and they've got their Lake County captain squad. So anyone who's in Lake County is not practicing with the team in progressive. They're practicing at the Lake County captain stadium. and they're doing their thing over there. They're kind of like the B squad. So if something similar were to happen to the Indians, then the Indians would pull from their Lake County squad. So I think that's what every team has. They have, that's what the taxi squad is. These secondary players, minor league players, people that they can call up that are at a different location than the rest of the team.
Now, is there any kind of a bubble that these taxi squads have to stay in?
I know, that's a good question.
I don't know. And I think that's the biggest problem with baseball. And that's going to be the problem with football, is the fact that these guys aren't in a bubble and they're not, you know, you have to trust the player to pretty much only be at the stadium and only be at home. And then that's it.
They were saying though, that they thought they would have gotten the coronavirus on a charter flight though. That's the other thing, is they were technically, and who knows if this is true or not, but they were abiding by the rules, social distancing, not going to other places. But if they would have picked it up on the flight, then that's like the other, that's the other concern with MLB and traveling. And I think that's the one thing that the NFL should be concerned about, the fact that they are also going to have to be traveling to venues to play. Because as much as you stay away from restaurants, bars, the public, there is still a chance that you could pick this up even being on a charter flight. Like, you're still coming into contact with pilots, staff, surfaces, which they're saying now it's not supposed to be living on surfaces as long as we once initially thought. But I guess at this point, it is really just, it's just such an unknown, all of this. You have to think too that once this report came out yesterday and throughout today, you have to think that the NFL, are they panicking? Do we think the NFL is concerned about their season? You don't?
Roger Goodell's should be. Like,
we got this.
I mean, what was it? I think it was J.C. Treader in his letter where he said that that football thinks it's bigger than the virus. So, like, that was the one, I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago.
I did hear that interview. Yeah, that was last week.
He put out a letter from, on behalf of the Players Association to the NFL. This was before the modified CBA was agreed upon last week. So this was like 2 weeks ago, he put out a letter, and that was one of the quotes in the letter, was that the NFL thinks it's bigger than the virus, that it's essentially too big to fail. But as we have seen from this, is like, nobody is immune, or like, nobody is safe effectively. Like, nobody is immune. And one thing that they're not reporting, and I kind of wish we did, but I understand it's a HIPAA violation, but we don't know if these guys are asymptomatic or if they're legitimately sick.
Right. And the NFL,
or it could be like the scratch, it could just be, you know, scratchy throat, headache, you know, I'm going to try and push through my day anyway, kind of
mild
thing.
And the NFL doesn't have to disclose if they are technically sick with coronavirus, correct? They just go on like the list. They don't actually have to confirm that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. So the whole thing is like such a gray area with all of this. And I saw someone commenting about, usually charter flights, you have the same flight attendants, same pilots, but still, like, are the flight attendants getting tested? Are they getting their test results back, you know, that same day?
Are they quarantining themselves?
Exactly. Because
that could be another thing, is that they could be fine on the way there.
Right.
And then, you know, they could go and get a drink from Starbucks or something.
The hotel. And, yeah. I mean, there's.
Pick it up from somebody at Starbucks or a restaurant or wherever. Like, this is kind of one of those things. And I know that people don't want to hear this, but if you're wanting to not test positive, you need to have like zero contact with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Including your families, which is sad. And we had in here just about the NBA and NHL, because they are the two leagues right now that have reported no new positive COVID tests since being in their bubbles. So it does look like the bubbles are working. And I think it just raises questions again. Should NFL consider a bubble? The MLB obviously isn't doing that. But again, I don't even know how you could do that in the NFL or MLB. But the other thing that's just interesting about baseball, you would think that that would be the one sport that is the safest to play, just based on the fact that you are already social distanced.
Sure.
You're not face to face for the most part, unless a runner is sliding into second or home, then that's where you're going to have the most contact. But it is interesting that, like, baseball, you would hope that these Marlins players didn't didn't pass this on to any of the Phillies players just because you're already distanced.
Right.
And they seem to be going to extreme lengths to disinfect and clean balls and bats and whatnot. So you would think that would have to be working. But NBA and NHL specifically would be the ones where you think it'd be easier passed on person to person just based on how close they are.
Well, yeah. And like, imagine, I don't know, man. Like, as far as with baseball, because they're not in a bubble, and the bubble, it seems to work. Like, I understand that. I think they had to report in, what was it, May or June or something. And like, they've been there for like this amount of time, and they're not allowed to leave until I think October. And, you know, it's extreme, but if you want a league, this is sort of how it has to be done. We're seeing in Major League Baseball that when you just, I don't know, and I don't want to say like you can't trust people to not go out and do things, but like, you know, they're professional athletes. They go get chicken wings.
Yeah.
He literally risked it all to go get chicken wings.
I mean, that kind of makes me want to try these wings if they're that
I
good.
I can't even talk about these wings. I received a text this morning that said all I could think about is going to Magic City. And first of all, I was like, what is Magic City? And I'm like Googling what the hell this is. And of course it was the strip club that Lou Williams went to. And I was like, okay.
Enough. I like that you Googled it.
He really needed to do like Uber Eats or something for that. So
right. Like he risked it all. And like he understood what he was doing. He understood what was at risk, and he still did it. So like, you know, they have like that snitch hotline and everything with the NBA.
There's an app too. There's a snitch
like
app.
It's like serious. So, you know, you trust the Major League Baseball players just to say, okay, well, you know, I want to play, so I'm going to sit here like a good boy and pray my rosary. Like, they're not going to do that. So you're going to keep having these problems, I think. I think this is just the very beginning, and it's just going to be a domino effect from here.
Yeah, and the hardest part, so one of the reasons why NHL and basketball were able to pull off the bubble, for basketball it was easy because Disney is set up to be a bubble because you've got restaurants and hotels, and you've already had the basketball courts built. But the advantage that NBA and NHL have is that they were getting close to their playoff pushes anyway. So, you know, they had already played a good chunk of their seasons. They were getting ready. I think like the Blue Jackets had already like clinched their spot in the playoffs before the season got shut down. So, they already had their push to the playoffs going. So when they come back to these bubbles, they're only having to be separate from their families for 2 months at the most. Cause that's the hardest part, is that when you're in the bubble, you can't, you know, have visitors or your family. So for basketball, it's 2 months. I think it's the same for hockey. It's about 2 months. But for baseball, they needed to try and figure out how to fit in a full season. And for the NFL, training camp is right now. So if they were going to do a bubble, it needed to start a month ago. And it would have gone through December, even into – and then for your Super Bowl teams, it would have gone into January, February. Yeah. So that's, you know, 6 to 8 months where you're telling these people to essentially live – without interacting with anybody in their lives other than their, teammates, players, their coaches, and then other teams and stuff like that. And that's just, I don't think I can do that. Like, I don't think I could like be in a bubble for that long. I was talking to a few of the reporters that are down in the NBA bubble, and one of them got so bored after 2 weeks, he legitimately started purposely breaking quarantine just to get kicked out.
Oh my God.
I feel like, yeah, he was going crazy. It was 2 weeks and he's like, I can't do this.
I would love this. Like, this
me too. I have an excuse not to like actually go anywhere.
Right? I don't have to like get dressed or put my, I can just lounge around in a hotel for a week. That's the life I want to live.
Me too.
That's it.
Me too. We could have a That's What B Said bubble.
I'd be okay with that. I mean, if it was like a girl gang bubble, I would be okay with that. I could live with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be so much fun. We'd be tie-dyeing every night.
That's right. Tie-dyeing, live periscoping, reading jail mail.
Could you imagine if we like did a bubble? And do you remember, I think it was like Katy Perry like locked herself in a house for a weekend once and like live streamed the whole thing?
No, I don't remember that.
God, that was back, I think that was like it was either 2017 or 2018. And the only reason I remember that is because one of the podcasts that I listened to, she allowed the host into her home and he did the podcast from her bubble. It was supposed to be, I think it was promoting an album or something. I don't know. She's she's not all there, I don't think. She's a little weird. But yeah, she was like live streaming her life inside a mansion for 72 hours. And one of the podcasts I listened to was like, hey, let's do an interview. All right, I'll come to your weird mansion where there's things going on and we'll do this hour podcast and then I'm peacing out.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to touch on in regards to the testing before we move on from this is the other incredible thing is how fast they're getting test results back. Because if you are anyone outside of a professional athlete, or I guess the non-important people of the world, mm-hmm. it's taking 5 to 7 days to get a test mm-hmm. result back. So if you are just among the peasants of the country, yes. you have to essentially assume that if you go get a test, you have to quarantine yourself until you get results back. So yes. At this point, if you're sick, you have to assume the worst, right? And not be around other people, which I think is just crazy because imagine how many tests they're going through just for professional sports.
Right. It's really exposing the have and have nots of the world, uh-huh. I think. And we are definitely in the have nots. I know they've been tested. They've had to wait almost up to 2 weeks to get results back.
Yeah, which at that point.
Right. At that point, it's gone. But, hopefully. Once you do it, you have to quarantine just to be safe. And it's just my God. Imagine just putting your life on hold for 2 weeks. And then, again, with Major League Baseball, I don't know, because the season's so short, how you could, with the Marlins, are they going to make up these games that they are postponing?
I don't think they've made any announcements on that yet, which is the part. So I was talking to a coworker today, and one of the reasons why it was so frustrating is that in a normal season, if something happens, what the result is. So okay, if this player gets injured, we know that this person is going to come up. If this person goes on paternity leave, it's one of those things where if A, then B, then C, we know A, B, C.
Yeah.
But in Major League Baseball, I don't think anybody knows. So it's okay, they have protocol for if a full team has an outbreak, but I haven't seen this 100-page document. I don't know anybody outside the league who has. So it's okay, well, what happens? And we don't know. So we're all just finding this out together and being okay, well, now they're, and then they come have the questions that you had, Britt, where it's okay, well, they're in timeout until Sunday. But what happens after Sunday? What happens to all the, because they're playing literally every single day. They're putting 60 right. games into 63 days. Yes. So if they're in timeout for 5 days, that's 5 games that are missed.
Right.
And out of a 60 game season.
In a very short season, you can't afford to miss anything. So yeah. I don't know. And we all know that this is not going to end here. Another team's going to get this. Another team's going to get this. And eventually you're going to start, taking time off that you just don't have. So I honestly don't know how they're going to pull this off.
And I think the worst quote that I heard, and not a quote, but something that I heard someone say was that at least for Major League Baseball and possibly football as well, is the team that wins the championship, the team that wins the World Series or wins the Super Bowl isn't necessarily going to be the best team. It's going to be the team that stays healthy.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Which is really not that different if you think about it in other seasons. The staying healthy is obviously injury related, but this is actually, you have to not only avoid injury, you also have to avoid the COVID. It's how do you do both? Especially in football, when you have a shortened training camp, less practice, wearing pads, or from a physical standpoint, no preseason games, no contact, we had practices with Green Bay that's not happening. There's none of this early contact happening. Plus you had an off season where there were no, all training was done virtually. So I think the NFL is actually in a position where you could actually see more injuries to players earlier on in the season. And then you also have COVID as a second factor. So it is truly going to be interesting. And I wouldn't be surprised if at this point you see more NFL players opting out, not only because of COVID, but because of their potential risk to injury and mm-hmm. blaming it on COVID, right?
Well, I think that's a lot of the reason why a lot of NBA players opted out is because they were essentially inactive other than their home workouts. And then all of a sudden they're having to come back into the playoffs. They've got 8 games and then it's playoff time. So I know that a lot of, that was behind the decisions of a lot of NBA players for not wanting to come back is saying okay, well, I my team isn't in contention to be the winner. So I'm not going to risk tearing an ACL or pulling a hamstring or doing something that could be potentially damaging for the rest of my career.
Especially if you're in a contract year, right? Like,
yeah.
is it worth it? But I don't know. The more I'm thinking about this, the more I think that this could be the Browns. This could play to the Browns' benefit.
Because as long as everyone stays healthy.
But we could have the attitude of essentially going all in because, like, teams could not be going all in or
there were six Patriots that opted out today.
Yeah, I know.
Like for the entire season?
Yeah. They're completely opting out for 2020.
Now, okay, I have a random question because what that quote about baseball made me think of something. And I didn't want to lose it because I always lose my thoughts. But this one I remembered. Okay, so the quote was, can you repeat that again?
That the team that's going to win is going to be the one that stays healthy.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. Do you think in Major League Baseball that the best team always wins? Because the way I look at it is it's a matter of, you know, getting hot at the right time, you know, when you cool off at the wrong time, staying healthy, injuries. Is it ever the best team that wins?
It was in 2019.
Biased.
I mean,
I can look back at like specific instances and I'm like, well, they weren't the best team. They weren't the best team. They weren't the best team. For me, baseball's kind of like anyone it's like can whoever, win.
It's kind of almost like who's having a hot streak. Like you have to like get hot at the right time and then sustain that throughout playoffs and eventually the World Series, which I think if you go back to a couple of years ago when the Indians had that 22-game win streak, a lot of that conversation postseason was about they struck too early and when they got hot. And then they burn out and went into a slump. So the 60-game season is really interesting because you hopefully won't have those highs and lows. And it could very well be not only injury, staying healthy, but also just consistent play. Like consistent, really good baseball being played in order to win.
Yeah, well, we know 2017 definitely wasn't because it was the cheating Astros. So that was the year where who was able to bang on the trash can loud enough. It was 2017.
Yes, I remember like my favorite Indians team of all time was 2007 Indians. And it came down to them and then Boston, they blew it against Boston, but then Colorado was in the World Series and Colorado was not like super great. They just got really hot at a really specific time and it like catapulted them into the World Series. They did very well in the playoffs. But once they got the World Series, they completely fell apart because they just weren't that good, you know? And like the Red Sox won because
Boston.
Yeah, it's just everything clicking at once too.
Yes.
Like the bat's going, the pitching is really good. Like you obviously have to be clicking on all cylinders. So if only one thing is clicking, it'll only get you so far. And I think we've seen that with the Indians over the last few years where it'll either be really strong pitching and then the bats don't come, or it's the opposite where the bats are coming and the pitching just falls off. So we haven't been able to make that work. I hope that potentially this year is different and hopefully the shorter season helps the Indians.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Indians, you guys, the MLB and the Indians are romancing me right now.
Oh, God.
We're in Here a courtship.
We Here we go. I've We're lost courting. You.
That was my new word of the day. Can I just tell you why, Brittany? I feel like I have betrayed you with this.
It's fine. Everyone betrays me. It's only a matter of time.
Okay. I've got a few bullet points here. Number one, I'm in love with Yu Chang.
Okay.
As I already mentioned, I want to get his jersey. He's amazing.
Yes.
Number two, Wild Thing is alive.
What is,
in real life?
I'm
flesh.
Missing this. Is this that
oh, yeah,
guy?
That's
the relief pitcher, James Karinchak.
Karinchak, yeah.
Wait, he like 99? Is that
he's 99.
Yeah. Okay, I've heard some terrible things about him.
Wait, like personally?
No, not personally. Just like I don't, and I shouldn't even see. Why do I even open my mouth? Because I don't even know if this stuff is true, and I can't be held accountable. So never mind. I'm sure he's a great person.
I actually have no idea if he's a great person. I just know that he comes out of the bullpen with the Wild Thing music. He wears 99. He has a mohawk or a faux hawk, and he is a little bit wild. He throws
like,
really
you
fast.
Like this, I hate that somebody would do this. Like it makes
this.
Me
like,
cringe.
I'm like, yeah, I'm all about this. Number three, and this is a really important one. Frankie wears his mask while he plays.
Oh,
and he does superhero things. And I love that. Like, he is obviously just a stand-up guy and he's being safe and he's playing baseball. So anyone that makes excuses why they can't wear a mask, just watch Frankie Lindor play a professional sport.
I do love Frankie. You know what I was thinking about over the weekend? I said, I'm really glad that I never got super, like, I love Frankie. I think he's, you know, amazing. And I do kind of feel like being on the Indians might have held him back from being the, you know, sort of big superstar that he could be and will be, I think. But I'm glad that I never got super attached to him, because that would be a hard one to let go of had I've done it.
It's going to be so hard.
Yeah.
That one is so going to be rough.
Yeah, well, especially with how he's been playing, obviously. I will say, if the Indians can pull it off and win the whole damn thing, then maybe I'll feel like I felt when LeBron left, where at least we get something out of it. There's some redemption there. But, yeah, that one's going to be really tough.
That's going to be hard. I'll even be sad, and I don't really care that much. But, like, had I been, like, super into him, like Victor Martinez, like, when I went into a depression – or when Drew Gooden got traded, and I listened to that, what was that Taylor Swift song? It was like, Drew looks, teardrops on my guitar. I was so upset when he got traded. I was in college at, I was taking, remedial math for the second time because I failed it. And he got traded, and I was so upset that I had to leave. And, like, on the way home, that's what I listened to. And I'm like, oh, Drew, come back. But, like, I can't put myself through that again. This is why I don't get super attached to players. And I know Frankie, he's just so perfect and, you know, lovable. I would have just completely fallen in love with him, and I can't do that. So happy that I didn't. Will be very sad to see him go, even though I didn't.
Yeah. So in conclusion, I am actually really happy that baseball is back, to the point where on Saturday night, I was watching the Nationals. I was watching your Nationals, Meredith. And I actually found myself, like, welcoming the sound of Joe Buck. And I couldn't even believe it.
I mean, I have my rally towel with me tonight, you guys.
Put that down. Oh, God. This is a Cleveland sports podcast.
I realize that. I am in the Cleveland media, thank you, but just I also, giving, you know. You well, here's time. The thing. And this is one of the things. I forget who I was arguing it with. Probably some, I don't know. I don't know what is more Cleveland than loving your hometown team and being super loyal to a fault. So you can make fun of me for being a Nats fan and a Caps fan and being obsessed with my Hokies, but, like, I'm loyal to a fault.
That is true.
And I do love the Browns. Like, the Browns officially are my NFL team. I gave up my fandom of the Washington football team around 2013, 2014-ish, just because I was, you know, in DC media at the time, and I had an idea of what was going on behind the scenes there, and I was just like, I can't support this team. So until I moved to Cleveland, I did not have a football team to cheer for.
Yes, and what a relationship you got yourself into.
I know. 0-16 was my inaugural year.
Very one-sided.
Yeah.
So yeah, we talked a lot of baseball tonight already. And the one last thing that we will touch on, which my mom actually informed me of this, which I love when my mom informs me of topics for the, That's What Bea Said. But Brittany, you also cover this. Corey Kluber is already hurt. So this just goes back to obviously the trade when that happened, Indians fans being upset. I guess now hindsight's 2020 when it comes down to it. Although
Pieces that they got for him, though, it's like one of those trades that nobody won.
Exactly. Everything just canceled each other out.
One of them got suspended for steroids, right?
Yeah, PEDs, that was Emmanuel Clase. Yeah, yep. It was Emmanuel Clase. He was supposed to be suspended for 80 games, but then in the 60-game season, MLB was just like, oh, we'll only suspend you for 2020. So you've only got 60 games to be suspended for. Come back in 21.
So, like, it was just nobody won. Nobody won.
Yeah, exactly. It was just everything got canceled out.
I do feel bad for Kluber, though. Like, you know, he was always a nice guy. He did his job well. And it's always sad when, like, the wheels come off of somebody's career. You know what I mean? Especially for someone good.
Also, it makes me sad. And I almost wonder, and this goes back to both of your points about injuries, I wonder if this would have happened had they had a full spring training and it wasn't a spring training, stop for 3.5 months, come back for 2 weeks, and okay, now pitch 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. Mm. You know, I'm wondering in the back of my mind that if this was a normal season, or if they were able to have some kind of normal spring training, would Kluber have gotten injured like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good point. Who knows? Because I think he was battling injuries throughout his final days as an Indian, which I guess in hindsight, obviously, you would hope that they had the foresight to... In hindsight, you have the foresight. I lost my train of thought.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. All right, we're going to move away from the MLB. Enough MLB talk, even though I'm being romanticized again by baseball.
I respect it.
I mean, Brittany, I think I saw you tweeting the other night that you were actually considering turning on a game, and
I have yet to actually do this, but like I've thought about it a few times. So I think it's actually on right now. My sister, she loves the Indians and she's home.
Yes, they are on.
She's watching it. My girls, my nieces, they love the Indians. Oh, they love Frankie Lindor. They love, yay! They're going to be so crushed.
Oh, I know. God,
it's going to break my heart. So yeah,
don't tell them what's coming right now. Although they're probably smart enough to already know that it's going to happen.
They even have a cat they named after him. Well, Frankie, I know. Very sad stuff. So
We're going to get into some lists because...
Oh, God.
Do you like my last bullet point on your list? Stupid.
100%.
Where I like, yeah, I check out. I hate lists so much.
Okay, but lists are released for podcasts to talk about. Like, that's the whole reason to give people content. So here we are. It. We fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And the funny thing is I actually didn't know that there was an NBA list. But of course, Brittany knows.
Can I break the news to everyone?
Please, go.
Okay.
Floor is yours.
While I believe that lists are stupid and I hate them, I like this one. Bleacher Report's top 10 players under the age of 21. Guess who was in that list, ladies?
Does his name start with Colin and end with Sexton?
It does. My son, he was Bleacher Report, thought that he would, and you know what? I got to agree with him, guys. I saw some people that were mad that Kevin Porter Jr. was not included in this list.
Well, I was going to ask, how many players in the NBA are under 21?
A lot, Meredith. Okay. Do not try to discredit my son by saying it wasn't a big pool to fish from. Okay. There's a ton.
Okay.
He is number 10 of 10.
Of the 30 players in the NBA that are under 21, Colin Sexton is number 10. Listen. Actually, there's probably a lot with the one and done rule. There's probably a lot more than you think about. Cause like when you look at the NFL, they have to go through 3 to 4 years of college. And so they're entering the NFL at 21, 22, whereas NBA, they can enter as young as like 19. So I guess that makes sense.
So there's probably like a million and Colin Sexton was in the top 10.
I just wanted to antagonize you a little bit because that's what we do.
All right. We can talk about the stupid list now because I hate this one.
Yeah. The NFL, like the top 100, they do this every year. And I think we talked about this last year. No, we weren't. We didn't have a show last year.
We probably
feels like we just talked about this.
We probably did talk about it last year, but it was just like we were tweeting each other about it and not like in a group text / podcast.
Gosh, we haven't even cycled ourselves a year yet. Feels like it.
I said, 35. We're old enough to run for president.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett was voted number 80 on the top 100 list. Last year, he was number 49. Jarvis Landry was voted number 61, and Odell was number 59. Have they released the rest, or they're only doing certain numbers during certain days?
I think they do in increments of 20, and I think it airs, 8? On Monday nights. I think that's what it is. 8 on NFL Network.
I won't be tuning in for that.
And like the weird, like I guess voter or players voted for this.
Really?
How did Myles Garrett drop that much? I know what he did. Did that just leave like a bad taste in their mouth? Do you think they're not really judging him based on, you know, performance, but rather
potentially? Do we think Nick Chubb will crack the list?
Oh, he's got to.
He has to.
I'd say but I mean, I feel like he's been shunned quite a bit already.
Yeah.
They already they forgot about him in like episode 1 of Hard Knocks. It was so sad. Like Baker's got everyone, you know, gathered around him and he's like, "Hi, I'm Nick." I'm here to play for the Browns. Really?
We should like live stream a showing of Hard Knocks.
And, yeah,
like,
we need to. I will.
That was
I
when
will
Josh various. Gordon was. Remember that? Remember Josh Gordon coming back? The Eagles
oh
has landed.
My God. Yes.
When that song played, I literally listened to that song on repeat the next morning.
Oh, is it that Change song?
Yes.
I still
yes.
have that song on.
It's so good.
It
yeah.
was.
I mean, the Hard Knocks is hard for me to watch because Tyrod getting injured in what was it, the second or the third preseason game, and you like see him in the medical tent, he's screaming, my hand, and I was like
but listen, he showed Hugh Jackson how to coach, and really what more did we want from him? That's all we could ask.
I mean, if Tyrod Taylor was coaching over Hugh Jackson, that team would have
probably
gone at least they probably would have won 10 games if Tyrod Taylor was coaching.
Probably they respected him, would have gone a lot yeah. smoother.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I just that season was so rough because I was the most annoying person on the face of the planet the day that Tyrod signed with the Browns. Mm. Like I thought my boss was going to kill me that day because I would not shut up about it. I was like doing dances. I literally brought it up in every single sentence. Like there'd be people who were at a different radio station in our cluster talking about I don't know like a Taylor Swift song or something, and I'd come and be like, "Did you know Tyrod Taylor is now a Cleveland Brown?" Like, I was the worst.
Yes,
never got my Tyrod jersey.
Someone just commented, "We need to look at PFF data and stats for well talking points." Listen,
for fantasy, because this is a fantasy football podcast,
we need to talk
about fantasy.
We just said we don't like lists, so I don't want to do research on lists that are just essentially made up and voted for by other players. Like, yeah, the PFF rankings are great, and we will look at those when the season starts. But right now, like, nothing matters. Literally nothing matters. Yeah. But actually, fantasy-wise, we are going to start a fantasy league, you guys. We're going to have a That's What B Said fantasy league. I'm breaking this news live on the show. Brittany is thrilled.
Yes. Brittany yes. is thrilled. Because I've never played fantasy, and my team's going to be terrible. I can promise you that.
I feel
I
like
only pick players that I love.
I was going to say, like, you 100% are going to go for Lamar Jackson, for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt. So whoever joins this league, you are not allowed to take him. Although I don't think anyone would except me. So we're good.
Yeah, so we have to figure out if you guys are interested, please let us know. We'll try to get something together. We might have to have a couple of different brackets, depending on how many people there are. But I actually really enjoy fantasy. So it's going to be interesting based on you know, the whole COVID situation and the unknowns.
Do you often play fantasy? Is that like a thing you guys do every year?
I didn't do fantasy football last year because the league that I was in the year before, the commissioner got really mad at me because I would never trade with him. He was a total Dale, and every time he would try to propose a deal, he would get super every time he would try to propose a trade, he would get super condescending and be like, "You know this benefits both of us, right?"
Ew.
And I'm like, "Yeah, exactly." That's like what he would say to me when I would deny the trades that he proposed, because most of the time I didn't like them anyway. And then there was like this one trade, I forget who I had, and he really wanted this player, and so he had somebody that I really wanted. And so I was like, all right, well, I will complete this trade if you include this player. And I was like, and I'll add one more thing just because I know that this is one of your best players. And he like lost his mind. And he was like, "Do you really think so-and-so is worth that?" Like he lost his shit. And I got uninvited from this keeper league for last year. So I didn't actually do fantasy football from last year. You want to talk about nerdy. I've done fantasy college football before. Back when I was working in DC, I had a fantasy college football league.
I was commissioner for my work league, which I was very honored to be commissioner of. And I actually ended up, I think placing, I don't think I won. I think I ended up getting second, but I was very close to winning. And then I'll do like DraftKings on Sunday, which I feel like is super nerdy, but I'm like in the DraftKings, like setting my my daily lineup, which I think is fun. So Brittany, I think
the idea of doing that.
Yeah, daily is fun because you're not committed, you know, long term to any team. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, we'll have to get that situated. I don't know if I'm gonna outsource my commissioner. I got to think about that. If I can take on being commissioner of our That's What B Said league, I'll let you guys know.
I cannot wait.
So we're going to wrap up with some Browns talk because today players were in the building, which was very exciting to see. They were masked up. And the other thing we have to mention is our guy, Jarvis Courtney, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, has been tweeting that he has also touched down in Berea. So you guys make sure to follow his journey. I'm excited to see what this means, if he has an official workout with the Browns or if he's truly crashing the party. So we're rooting for you. Best of luck. And we'll have to follow along on his journey there. But Baker was in the building and he's looking slim.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's looking really good.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to be gross, but like everything that he was wearing today just worked. You know what I mean? Like those, those shorts. Did you see the shorts? Yes. They were like, you know, multicolored, and he comes up and he's looking all slim AF and you're like, whoa, this is quarterback one. This is it.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
So take that. What did they used to call him? Bakery.
Yeah. There was an account created.
So, so Brittany, you got stuck in my head. Cause anytime I have to like type anything, anytime I have to write something that has Baker's name in it, I always write out Bakery and then I have to delete it and write Baker. So it's all your fault.
I hate that, but it makes me laugh every time. No, but he looks great. And you saw a couple, what was it, last week? He tweeted that video of him, like, you know, the hype video.
Yeah.
Saw that. I mean, dude is in shape. He's taking this seriously.
Those Peloton rides really worked out for him. So
yeah, he's doing something right. I think his wifey also got him on a workout track. They were together. I mean, what else can you do when you're locked down for 4 months other than eat? Like, you can choose eating, or you can choose working out.
You go one or two ways.
Like, clearly, he went the workout path, which, like, honestly, like, this year was probably the hardest to stay in shape based on that alone.
I'm sure it was. I can't
especially imagine. Especially with gyms being closed. I think that's probably because, I mean, like, I've got workout equipment at home, and I would start going for runs, but the minute I went back to the gym, which was, like, 2 weeks ago, I'm like huffing and puffing on my squats. And I was like, I was squatting three times this much 4 months ago. Like nothing replaces an actual gym. So unless he had a gym like in his house, which I don't think he did. I think it was just the Peloton. Like it's really hard to keep up with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myles Garrett looks like he's in the best shape of his life. I say this every time I see him, but for some reason he just looks more and more in shape. Like every year progressively. I just don't even understand how a human can have that much muscle mass. Like he is like a real life dinosaur.
Yeah. Also, I feel like every year he gains weight, but somehow decreases his body fat. So at one point he was 245 and then he's 250 and then he's 255. And then it's, I wish I had that kind of genetics. Cause that's incredible.
Yeah. And then we had, they were posting pictures. Austin Hooper had arrived, which is exciting. Feel like you almost forget about him in the shuffle from the big trade. So that'll be exciting.
David Njoku didn't forget about him.
Yeah, well, fair.
Yeah, he was there today too.
And then Nick Chubb, my guy, and Mac Wilson being corny per usual, which Caitlin did not let us forget about, by the way. She like had all of us in that picture.
He was standing in front of that car. He had his mask on. Like, it was adorable. It was very Mac Wilson-esque.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't understand what's wrong with corny because I love it. Like, I love it.
Yeah. She's fun.
I do get her. And we stand corny guys. We love it.
Yeah, right. We do.
Because you would rather them be like corny and entertaining than have the personality of a wet blanket because then that's just boring.
Absolutely. Except, well, I mean, Nick Chubb doesn't have like this boisterous, like corny
personality. He's okay. But so Nick Chubb is like, he's like the low key one liner that if you pay attention to what he says, it's like super clever. Like the line, what was it? The thing about the Lamborghini.
Yes.
Like someone was asking Nick Chubb, like, why don't you have this? Why don't you have this? And he looked at them and just said, why don't you see commercials for Lamborghini? You don't have to advertise. That's tough.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of like, I like that out of Nick Chubb. So even though he doesn't have like a huge boisterous personality, the way Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham Jr. has, like he's still got a personality. You just have to listen for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. The other interesting thing, we already talked about no preseason games will be played this year. Mm-hmm. So Brittany wants to speculate wildly. what are we? We're not even in August yet, but we're going to speculate who's going to be doing the play calling, because this is something
the best for last.
That's right. This is something that Kevin Stefanski didn't really confirm or deny leading up to this off season. Mm-hmm. He had always said he was going to let it play out. They'd figure it out in the preseason games. And obviously we don't have that anymore. So Kevin Stefanski is not only going into his first year as a head coach without the typical off season training. Training camp is going to be a lot different this year. There's going to be no preseason games. And also, P.S., he faces the Baltimore Ravens week one. Mm-hmm. Who calls the plays?
Okay, so it was an article on Cleveland.com. Mary Kay posted it. I think she wrote it. And basically, it was just an argument for whether Stefanski's going to do it himself or whether Van Pelt was going to take over the duties. So I'm going to give you, like, a little version of it. Okay, you ready? Yeah. So there are three reasons why he should do it himself. Okay. He knows this Gary Kubiak version of the offense better than Van Pelt. So there's one, ladies. Second, Van Pelt has a lot on his plate as quarterback's coach too, which I actually kind of forgot about. I didn't think about that. Number three, Stefanski now has a senior offensive assistant in Kevin Rogers. But before you pick sides, hear the other side out. Here are three reasons Van Pelt should call the plays himself. It would free up Stefanski on game day, which is true. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Stefanski would feel. Van Pelt has coached a lot of football since 2009. True. Van Pelt will be working most closely with Baker Mayfield. So, you know, potentially they could, I don't know. Let's speculate wildly, though. Who's going to call the plays?
I mean, I have my idea. Bree, you go first.
Okay. So I actually could see Kevin Stefanski giving it up to Van Pelt for the sole purpose of him having a lot on his plate as a head coach and wanting to be focused on multiple things and not have the pressures of calling the plays. I think he will obviously be very involved in the game planning and the scripting of the plays, but I do think there's a possibility he could let AVP make the final decision during the game.
Okay.
Hot take. I wonder what everyone else thinks in the comments.
Brittany, did you want to go or do you want me to go?
Good.
So I think it's going to be Kevin Stefanski. I think it might be that way for like the first four games, I think, of the season. Because essentially the first four games would have been the preseason where Alex Van Pelt could get in and kind of get his toes wet and they could kind of see where things were with him being a play caller, and they could even split it up 2-2. So they're losing that opportunity. So you're going into the season and you're going to have to be like mid-season form on day one, essentially. And this is actually a quote from Mary Kay where she said that, you know, Kevin Stefanski is the one who should be, you know, taking care of everything to start out. Like, he's the leader of the team. He's the one that everyone is looking up to, including the assistant coaches and the position coaches and all that other stuff. So they're all looking to him. So he should be the one who sort of takes the lead, at least to start out, to kind of get things settled as to who is doing what. And then I guess once they get into the season and start feeling more comfortable seeing where the team is, he could probably start loosening the reins a little bit and giving some to Alex Van Pelt. But I think at the very least, the first four games, I think, are going to Stefanski.
First four.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think it depends on how the first four games go as to whether or not he continues being the sole play caller for the rest of the year, or if he steps aside and lets Alex Van Pelt take some of it over.
Yeah. So like, I've been going back and forth on this because part of me is like, no, like Kevin Stefanski, I think he's the kind of leader that's going to put full faith and full trust in his guys. Like, these are his guys. These are the people that he hires. So if he said, okay, you're the offensive coordinator, you're going to be the one calling plays, like, that's what Kevin Stefanski's going to do. But I also think that he's responsible and he wants to be held accountable for, like, such, everything is so weird right now. Nothing's normal.
Right.
Nothing's going to be normal for the time being. I think that he's the kind of coach that's going to be like, okay, I don't want this. If something goes wrong here, if we're, you know, not as prepared as we should be, and, you know, probably won't be, if the offense is like shaky, doesn't look the way that it's supposed to, he'll want it to fall on him rather than his guys. So, you know, like you said, I think he'll start the season calling the plays. Obviously heavily with Van Pelt involved, but I think eventually he'll just like hand over the reins to him, be like, okay, I got us to a place right now, feel comfortable. Cause I'm sure, you know, they're going to take all the time in the world to study what needs to happen to make these, put these plans in place, kind of depending on what can work, injuries, coronavirus, everything that, you know, gets muddled into this season. But I'm kind of thinking that maybe, I don't know, week six, then he'll be, you know, that would be my prediction.
Yeah, this yeah. is, you guys both bring up very good points. I think the one thing we at least do know about Kevin Stefanski is that he, as you were saying, Brittany, seems to be a strong leader and secure mm-hmm. enough that if he were the one calling the plays, I think he would very well be okay with handing over the reins versus last year. We obviously had a head coach in Freddie Kitchens who wouldn't give that up. He would not mm-hmm. give up the play calling, but he also couldn't manage the team. He couldn't manage in-game scenarios. He couldn't figure out when to use his challenge flags. Mm-hmm. He couldn't manage the clock. We witnessed that time and time again. So whatever happens, I have full hope and trust that Kevin Stefanski will make the right decision yeah. in the moment and not be too egotistical to get in his own way.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah.
So, I just hope we get to see it play out. I really, I know.
My biggest fear with baseball is pretty much coming true and or is on that path where the season starts but then doesn't finish.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to make it about a month before things started falling apart. Didn't think it was going to be 3 days. But now I'm
always have to like consider the Florida factor. Anytime Florida's involved in anything, something's going to go wrong fast.
I think that, any Florida teams should not be allowed to leave Florida. And if you have a state that has multi, just them play each other. I don't know. Or like Georgia and Florida can play each other and that's it. And yes, you know, sorry to the Tampa Bay Lightning. You don't get to play anybody.
I did just see last night. I got the alert that Roger Goodell, like, put out a message to the NFL fans. Did you guys read this?
No,
I saw it, but
Is it cringy?
I don't have the mental capacity for this.
It's super cringy because like, here's the thing, as a Brown season ticket holder, you had the option this year to opt out of your season tickets. You could either carry over the money or get a full refund, which is great. Mm. Like those are great options. But then your other option was you could still opt in for season tickets this year, but you weren't guaranteed, number one, your location of the seats that you bought and paid for. Number two, you weren't guaranteed a certain number of games. And obviously number three, you weren't guaranteed, which games you could attend. So it's obviously a huge risk, a huge gamble, but you could still, I guess, decide you wanted to go to games this year. So there are also people that bought single game tickets when they went on sale back in whenever that was, April, May, I don't even remember. And people are now getting like notifications from whoever they purchased the tickets from that like, you know, they were canceled or whatnot. Because obviously there still hasn't been decisions about if fans will be in attendance. And essentially Roger Goodell's like open letter to the fans was like, you know, our hope is that we have fans in the stadiums and it'll be state by state. It could be a state by state basis. It's essentially going to be up to what's happening in that particular state as well as NFL guidelines. So I feel like he's just giving false hope. And that actually really bothers me. Like just make the decision now that there won't be fans at games. Like all we want, I think at this point is to have a season. Like yes. I'll be fine watching on TV this year as long as we get games.
100%. But again, this is like the 8-8 thing. Commit to something. Yes. Don't just stand in the middle and be like, well, we'll see. No, say yes or no. You're not going to lose any fans if you say, hey, no fans allowed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wouldn't this be a great time to, and I think DirecTV still owns the rights to the NFL package, mm-hmm. but like, don't you think you'd have more people this year committing to paying for like a red zone or to have access to all NFL games, because obviously you're not going to be going to games. So you're going to be at home. I think fantasy football would be huge this year, just based on that fact alone. But I think they could actually still make money just based on TV, if that was even a possibility.
For sure.
Goodell.
Yeah.
Who is the worst commissioner? And I know the answer to this already. Is it Rob?
Is it Manfred?
Yeah, I was about to say, is it going to be Rob Manfred or is it going to be Roger Goodell? I don't know.
Goodell's pretty close.
He's historically close. Terrible.
And Manfred is like recently terrible.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like one is historically bad and like there's very little that like uplifts him. There's no like real outliers of his. Like he was fine. He was funny at the draft. That was like the most I've ever liked him, I think.
Yeah, he was just like, give me your booze. He wanted to get booed. Like he embraced the tradition. Yeah, which like is
that.
Great.
That was the most likable he probably will ever be. Manfred, if he walked up to me, like as I'm walking down the street, I wouldn't know who he was. So you know, I can't really. He sucks. He's terrible at his job, clearly. But like, I don't know him.
He's like a walking plastic spoon. Like I don't know how else to describe. Like he's got the like. I mean, plastic spoons are pretty useless and they just gum up the environment. So, I mean,
ouch.
I have never seen it. Cause the one thing that you do have to give to Gary Bettman and to Roger Goodell is that you feel like they do genuinely care about their sports. Mm-hmm. Rob Manfred just, excuse my language, does not give a shit, man. No. He is up there collecting his paycheck and is like, oh, owners want to do this to screw over the players? Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll step in eventually. I just want to see you two fight it out first.
Like, that's funny. Someone commented and said, Manfred hates baseball. Goodell just hates his life. That's true.
That's so true.
That's a fair assessment.
So true.
Actually, just a great way to end the show on that. Well, guys, you have anything else? This was fun. I'm tired, but this was enjoyable.
Yeah, no, this was good. And we talked about a lot. This was just sports. We had a lot of sports to talk about. It was fun.
Yeah, Dales would be big mad about that too.
I know. Yeah, so never went. Sorry, Dales. We didn't complain about you for a few minutes before we started.
Oh, I forgot to mention this, you guys. This is my very last, my last thought of the day. This is probably a 3:45 a.m. thought. I actually do enjoy the fan noise in the MLB stadium.
Oh, yeah. I like it too.
But listen, can we just talk about, it is a true art form, whoever is running that, because I don't know how they can time it so perfectly. Like I was watching the Yankees Nationals on Saturday night and someone hits like a bomb into the outfield and it wasn't enough to be a home run. So, you know, like it was like the initial hit and it was like the applause and the cheers. And then the guy like caught it over the fence and it was like, oh, and I was like, how did you time that perfectly? It literally felt like the entire stadium was full. I was so impressed with whoever has that job. They should be getting a very large paycheck.
Man, I'm missing out on so much. I'm going to have to turn on a game sometime.
You're going to have to turn on.
Are the Indians doing it too? Are they doing the crowd noise?
Yeah,
pretty much everyone's. And then what I noticed between the exhibition games in Pittsburgh and the actual games that are happening at Progressive Field, the fan noise at PNC was so much louder than what the fan noise is at Progressive. So I think they need to like pump up the volume a little bit or something. But the reason I like it is because when you have your typical shot that's down center field and you can see the pitcher, you see the batter, the catcher, and the home plate umpire, you don't really see. You don't see the fans or you don't see the empty seats. And then you hear the crowd noise. So if you're not, you know, actively looking at empty seats, it almost makes you forget that there's nobody in the stadium.
Yeah. I kind of hope they do that for NFL games. Like I do, but I also
pumping crowd noise.
Yeah. I do kind of want to hear players too. Like I hope that they mic up more players, which will never happen based on Miles, but yeah, one can hope.
Those days are done.
Oh, all right. Well, we are officially wrapped up. I'm sorry. I just have random thoughts. Hopefully I can sleep tonight and not think about these things in the middle of the night.
No, I hope you do. Like that meme. Where's my birth certificate?
Okay. I laughed when you sent that because I legitimately did that once. I woke up at 1:30 in the morning because I needed to know where my passport was.
Oh man, a lot on my mind. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in live with us. Don't forget, we have been going live every Tuesday night between 8 and 8:30. So catch us on Twitter, your very own. We'll be live streaming. Also, you can download us per your usual. If you want to listen to us again, you can. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Continue to rate and review us, and we will talk to you guys all next week.